You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nichol. A little later on the programme, we're hearing from Jan Arge Fjortoft and Archie Rintat as Bayern Munich drop points against Hoffenheim. But we kick things off at Old Trafford, Manchester United against Spurs. Of course, a huge game with ramifications as to who will finish in the top four. After missing the derby, Cristiano Ronaldo back in the starting 11. Wouldn't have too much an impact, really, in this game. 12 minutes in. What a goal to make it 1-0.
I mean, it's a fantastic strike. He's got all the time just to set it up. Nobody closes him down. Eric Dyer is pretty much going, go on then, have a shot. So he says, OK. And he smashes it in the back of the net. I mean, this is the Ronaldo of old. This isn't the Ronaldo of a couple of weeks ago where we're thinking, this guy just looks like a normal player. We saw the real Ronaldo in this game.
20 minutes later, penalty to Spurs. Handball against Telles.
Yep, not even close, never in doubt. Should be turning your back. I mean, why is he turning his back? Ridiculous. Definitely a penalty. And accuracy and power beats De Gea.
Yep, Harry Kane makes it 1-1. 5 minutes later, though, United retake the lead. Sancho, Ronaldo, 2-1.
Yeah, and they were the two big players for me today for United. Sancho and, of course, Ronaldo. Times he's run well, Sancho looks up, first time, super ball, and Ronaldo, quite frankly, couldn't miss from there.
Into the second half we go, Spurs get themselves back into the match thanks to an own goal from Harry Maguire.
You know, when things are not going for you, it just piles up, doesn't it? I mean, he doesn't have a choice, he has to try and stop this cross. Romero, who I think was probably offside, but as I said, no choice, and it goes in his own goal.
But then, with 9 minutes to go, Ronaldo completes his hat-trick to make it 3-2.
Well, this is so easy for Ronaldo. Not only is he a great header of the ball, but he's only one here that actually keeps his eye on it and puts it home.
So it finishes Manchester United 3, Tottenham 2, a thoroughly entertaining game at Old Trafford. Let's just take a look at what that means for the table for United. They don't play for a while now, as the chasing pack will play those games in hand, but they currently sit 2 points clear of Arsenal in fifth. However, Arteta's side do have 4 matches in hand over Ranić's side. Let's welcome in, shall we? Mark Ogden and Don Hutchinson with us. Don, let's start with you. Never write Ronaldo off.
Never, ever, ever. And he's supposed to be the problem, isn't he? I mean, Dan, when you sometimes come away from a game and you think, ooh, that's tricky to analyse, this was one of the easiest games in your life to try and analyse. Both teams horrendous at the back. Both teams so bad it made for a great game. And then the top man scores a hat-trick. If Ronaldo was playing for Spurs, Spurs win that 3-2. He was so good today, but my word, it was a great game to watch. But the defending from both sides was awful.
We won't dwell on the awful bit. Let's dwell on the positive bit, certainly from a Manchester United and Ronaldo fan perspective, Stevie. He was the difference today.
Oh, absolutely.
By a mile.
Listen, I know he's, what, 37, and he's not going to be able to do that every time he steps on the field. But it was just a reminder of how good he is, how good a football brain he is. He knows where to be at the right time. He judges the flight of the ball and the pace of the ball and his passing and his finishing. I mean, today was just one of those days where he was on. And there was absolutely nothing Tottenham could do to stop it. I actually feel for Tottenham a little bit. Ronaldo, no question, deserved to be on the winning side today. But I think Tottenham deserved something out of the game. Because of Ronaldo's first goal, I think that is what opened the game up completely. And from there, I enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
Spurs absolutely tried to go forward. Makes you wonder why they don't do that more often. But then I guess the fact that they lose 3 goals tells you why not. But they were going forward. They get the goal. Again, excitement. The fact that Ronaldo again, pretty pretty soon after the equaliser scores, makes it even more open. And so the game was just an open, attacking game of football with both sides trying to score goals. And, of course, the top man, the man of the match, gets three in classic Ronaldo style.
Yeah, Ronaldo now top goal scorer in all competitive matches in the history of the game, Don. After seeing Messi and his disappointing performance against Real Madrid midweek, a lot of people on social media bringing up the GOAT debate once again. Does the fact that you've got Cristiano Ronaldo still doing it at 37 and Messi clearly in decline have an effect on that discussion?
I just think it's one of them, Dan. You're not going to convince any Messi lovers to switch to Ronaldo and vice versa. I just think you like one or you have a preference for one. But I get what you're saying. And I think that comes into the conversation for sure. I mean, look at his goals record. I mean, it's just... I mean, listen, most pros, Dan, haven't got those appearances. I didn't make 807 appearances. I was close to 500 appearances. This guy's got 807 goals and counting. And do you know what might sound a crazy thing to say? But I just think you sort of semi-build a side around him. And you more or less say to Ronaldo or the team in and around him, when you buy better players and give him better players to play with, go and play as a number 10. Go and play in the 18-yard box and be devastated when you're in the 18-yard box. Because I think undoubtedly the quality around him is not obviously matching his standards. That's obviously for sure and quite evident. But there's a little bit more to come and that's quite scary.
What's interesting, Stevie, we talk about Messi and Ronaldo a lot. Yeah. We have done since this show began. Now it isn't a question, is it? If you're having a pickup game, who you pick first?
No.
And I think that's the first time, really, certainly this season.
Well, that's unfair. Come on. We shouldn't be trying to judge who the GOAT is with two players who are 37 and, 34?
No, I understand that. But this is the first time there has been such clear daylight between these two players and the quality that they offer.
Yes.
But if we're having a game right now, you're picking Ronaldo over Messi, and not just you, the majority of people are.
And I think the reason for that is because they're two different players. Ronaldo's a goal scorer. And so I think that's why he'll continue to score goals, because Messi's a footballer. So Messi's involved deeper in the game and involved more in the game, which means he needs his legs more to run around. He'll do more miles. They're two completely different players. Completely. And as I said, Ronaldo for me, right now, yes, because he is an out-and-out goal scorer. That's not what you think of when you think of Messi. You think of passing, you think of running past players. Yes, he scores goals, but you think of in football terms. Whereas Ronaldo, this guy's just all about putting the ball in the net.
Yeah. What are they going to do with him, Mark?
Well, I think this one is basically down to Ronaldo rather than United, because he's got a year left in his contract at the end of this season. And I don't think Ronaldo will be told by Man United what his future is. It will be up to him. I think he will say, right, well, do I want to stay here? Do I want to be part of this so-called project? Who's the new manager going to be? Because I can't see Ronaldo being told that, yes, you're staying next season, Cristiano, but you're going to be on the bench. So it'll be up to him. I don't think United is the club they are. They are still a club that puts the commercial value of a player quite highly. You know, all we heard tonight was that Tom Brady was there watching Ronaldo. It was, the focus was on the wrong thing. Should have been on the pitch rather than the guy in the director's box. So United are too often kind of hypnotised by the star name. So I don't think United will push him out. I think it'd be a question of Ronaldo thinking, do I want to be here next season? Do I want another season like this one where I've been surrounded by players who aren't as good as me? We're not winning the games we should be winning. You know, I imagine he wanted to go to United and find a way to win a trophy before he sails off into the sunset wherever he goes. There's no real chance of that this season, unless they win the Champions League, which there's no real chance of that this season. And next season, I think, you know, you can't really see them pushing for the big honours next year. So it'll be up to Cristiano Ronaldo. United will happily let him stay, I think, because I don't think they're prepared to say, on your way, Cristiano. So he's the one that's got the decision to make. And as it stands right now, he looked quite angry tonight. I thought it looked like he'd proved a point. There wasn't a lot of warmth towards his teammates and Ralph Rangnick as he walked off the pitch. So he might be thinking, right, I've shown you what I can do, but this is my season, I'm off. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah, did Rangnick get it completely right then, Mark? Obviously not playing him in the match against City, questions about whether or not he was fit. Did that motivate him for this sort of performance, or is that just too easy to say?
No, I think that has motivated him. I think other things have motivated him as well. The fact that I do think he's frustrated by what surrounds him at times. I think, you know, I think too many players at United in the last two or three seasons, certainly under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, have had an easy ride. They've had it easy. They've been allowed to, you know, being consistent at poor performances. And Ronaldo's come in and he's seen these so-called star players who have delivered, you know, one game every four or five. And he's thinking, well, why aren't these dedicated as I am, as determined as I am? So I think there's a lot of things that have kind of been in that performance. But certainly last week, I mean, I'd seen Ronaldo quite a bit since the turn of the year, and he's been poor, you know, against Middlesbrough in the FA Cup. He couldn't get away from his defenders. He looked like he was shot. He really did. But tonight, he's 37. Looks like he was 27. He was fantastic tonight. But I suppose if you look at his game in the round, he didn't contribute a lot, apart from a hat-trick, which is not a bad return, no matter what you do around the pitch.
It's not bad. Mark, you talk about the fact it's in his hands. Where would he go, though, away from United?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? At 37, I think a big factor now is what happens with Portugal in the World Cup. If they get through the World Cup, then he'll want to be in a league that's competitive, that he can keep sharp. If Portugal miss out, if they lose to Turkey or Italy in the playoffs coming up, then really, he's got nothing left to achieve. There's no World Cup there as his kind of swan song. So if that happens and they get knocked out of the World Cup and he gets to the summer with no World Cup to look forward to, he might think, you know, maybe go back to Portugal to Sporting Lisbon for a year or two, maybe go to the Middle East. I think that's where the money is. That's where, if he wants a similar kind of lifestyle, I think he's going to have to go to Qatar or Saudi Arabia, which doesn't really feel fitting for a player of Ronaldo's calibre. I'm not sure he'll go to the MLS. I think I keep hearing about Inter Miami, but I don't know. I think, I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to Portugal for a year or two, but I think ideally, I think all parties would want him to stay at United, but I think he has to be convinced that it'd be worth staying next season.
Well, of course, Champions League would be a big carrot to keep him there. Just take a look at the odds to qualify for the Champions League next season. Arsenal still favourites. I mentioned they got all those games in hand, but of course that victory today certainly didn't hurt United's chances. But you look at it, Stevie, and Arsenal really need to muck this up, don't they?
Well, Arsenal's got some tough games.
Well, they've got your boys, obviously.
Yeah, they've got Chelsea, they've got Man United. You know, they got some easy games. But with four games in hand and only 2 points behind, there is no question. You should back yourself.
Yep.
And there's no reason to suggest the results they're getting now won't continue. You know, they're pretty solid at the back. They've started scoring some goals, which they weren't doing previously, but then they weren't losing. And so all the things they're doing are completely unlike all the teams around them. You know, Man United wins and they lose and they draw, you know. You're not quite sure of what's going on.
Yeah.
Arsenal's been the most consistent recently, so yes, it's absolutely theirs to make a mess of.
Spurs done, Don?
Yes, I think so, Dan. I tweeted before the game, I think it was a massive chance for both teams to put a nail in the coffin of either side. I just think they're too inconsistent, Dan. I think in the last 11 games, I think it is, they've never gone back-to-back wins. It's been a win, a loss, a win, a loss. They can't get any momentum going. You know, Antonio Conte must have been looking at that performance today, because I agree with Stevie. I thought they deserved something out of the game. At 2-2, I'm thinking the Spurs could win this. And it was one of them where, if they really believed in themselves, the Tottenham players, if they really thought they could win at Old Trafford, they would have done. Not saying it was that easy, but they didn't sort of back themselves. At 2-2, they thought, are we quite good enough? We might ship one at the other end. Should we stay for a 2-2? We're not sure what to do. That's not Antonio Conte's way of thinking. That's the players on the pitch thinking. So I'm not convinced now they can get top four.
Elsewhere, of course, a significant result in the title race in the south of England. Brighton taking on Liverpool. 19 minutes into this one. Liverpool will take the lead. Luis Diaz with the goal. Should Sanchez have been sent off, Stevie?
Absolutely. If he had used his arm, it would be like WWF and the getting a clothesline. Except he uses his leg to clothesline him. I mean, I don't understand how it's not a red.
If it misses, he gets a red, doesn't he? I think that's...
I would hope not. I would hope the decision's made on what they actually saw, regardless of where the ball ended up. But there's no question, it's a red card.
Yeah,
you do that in the middle of the field, it's a red card.
Yeah, no question here either.
This is a penalty.
Handball.
Yes, as soon as hand comes up. Again, why his hand's up there, I've no idea. And Salah's not missing this great finish, middle of the net.
Yeah, so it's Liverpool 2, Brighton 0 then is how it finishes as Liverpool close the gap on City at the top of the table. There's not much to say really about this, is there, Steve?
No, as soon as Diaz scored, the game was pretty much over. Brighton do what they do, pass the ball nicely, but I've got pretty much not a lot going forward. And it was comfortable in the end. I was a little wary first 10 minutes, to be honest. Well, you just...
Not wary?
Well, Brighton have given Liverpool trouble over the last 12, 18 months.
Right.
And they came back from two down at Anfield as well. Mm. But as I said, after the first goal, I was comfortable.
A story that seems to be snowballing somewhat over the last few days is the future of Mo Salah, meanwhile, at Liverpool. This is what Jurgen Klopp had to say about the contract talks. His contract's up in 18 months' time, so what are we talking, June 2023. Mo expects this club to be ambitious. We cannot do much more. It is Mo's decision. It is all fine from my point of view. Nothing happened further. No signing or rejection. We just have to wait. There's no rush. Of course, what added to this, obviously, we saw Mo Salah's agent tweeting, what, seven smiley faces midweek. We can interpret that as you like, Mark. Where do we stand on Salah's future at Anfield?
Well, it's a tricky one for Liverpool, this, because on the face of it, you have to keep Mo Salah. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. You keep him regardless. But Liverpool have operated over recent years that they want to make sure that when they're handing contracts out or signing players, that they're going to get full value for the length of the contract. They don't want to be giving long-term contracts to players who are, you know, the wrong end of the career. Now, Mo Salah is 29. He's 30 in the summer. And the debate would be, when he ends his contract, he'll be 31. Is it worth giving him a four-year contract? Potentially making the best paid player in the Premier League. Right now, that's Cristiano Ronaldo. We take him out of the equation because he's on huge money at United. So if you take Ronaldo out of it, Kevin De Bruyne is the highest paid player in the Premier League at Man City. Now, for me, Mo Salah is as important to Liverpool as Kevin De Bruyne is to Man City, if not more important. So, and I think that when you get to 33, 34, I think Mo Salah will still be able to contribute a great deal to Liverpool. So Liverpool have to weigh up whether they think it's a smart move long-term to give Mo Salah the contract that he wants. He'll want to be the best player in the Premier League. I think he's earned it. The problem is, Sadio Mane's out of contract at the end of next season as well. So what do you do with him? Because he's not far behind Salah in terms of importance. So this is the Liverpool situation. It's not a football decision, it's a business decision. But I think it'd be a bad business decision to let Mo Salah run his contract down, because if he goes for nothing at the end of next season, that'll be a disaster for Liverpool. That'll be terrible. I don't think he'll go this summer. I don't think anyone's got the money to buy him, because I think Erling Haaland's the big guy this year, Mbappe, maybe Harry Kane. But Liverpool need to really get their act together with Salah, because he, for me, is their Taliban. I'd just give him what he wants.
The problem with that, Stephen, you were talking about this before we came on air, is the domino effect that could have.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how we're talking about who's more important than anybody else. I would suggest that Firmino and Mane are less important. And they're even more or less important because they've signed Jota and Diaz, because those two could step in and fill their boots, in my opinion. Salah is the one that there's nobody to fill his boots, as is Van Dijk at the back. So basically those two guys, and if I'm Van Dijk and I see Mo Salah getting the king's ransom, then I'm chapping on the door.
Right.
That's what happens. So that's another problem for them. But I think they've got to be strong. I think sometimes you have to go out with your business plan, because Liverpool have been operating quite a sensible pay scale with the players, as good as they are. But sometimes you get a player that you have to go the extra mile for, and I would definitely do that for Salah, and I would do it for Van Dijk.
Right.
The other ones, if they turn around and say, well, he got that, and if you don't do this, I'm gone, then I would be strong and say, right, this club's been around for a long time, and this club's won a lot of things before you came, and will win a lot of things after you go. So you have to decide who you play hardball with, and I would suggest Mane and Firmino would be, you'd play hardball.
Right.
The two guys that you make sure you keep as your cornerstones, you look after them.
You agree, Don?
Yeah, I think from what I hear, Dan, I think reading between the lines and what I've heard is they're quite way off in terms of what they want. But Liverpool are playing hardball in terms of what they're saying to Mo Salah. Well, you're not going to go anywhere in England, so you're not going to ruin your legacy there. So where else can you go? Bayern Munich wouldn't pay 500 grand a week. I don't think Real Madrid and Barcelona would as well. So they're sort of saying to Mo Salah, look, you're at a football club where you're absolutely adored, and they're quite a way off, but I think they'll end up getting it done. I think it's one of them where I think Jurgen Klopp and I think the guys above will sit down with Mo Salah and his agent. His agent's a little bit cheeky, in my opinion. I mean, Listen, when you hear agents coming out and speaking, you're never quite sure what their motives are. Well, you're either trying to look after the player, but when you're sticking seven emojis up there, you know that's going to have a ripple effect. You know it's going to get everyone talking about it as well. So it might just liven everyone up. And then Mo Salah gets his goal today. It just makes the agent a little bit more powerful in his negotiations. They'll get the signing done. It might not be right now, but it might be somewhere in the summer, I think.
Meanwhile, a significant result today at the bottom of the table. Brentford in action against Burnley. Brentford would win this by 2-0 to pile more pressure on Sean Dyche's side. They currently sit 18th. Everton just 1 point above them, but Everton do have 2 games in hand. This was huge, wasn't it, Don?
It was, and it was huge for the teams like Newcastle, who I support, Dan, who are now 10 points clear and absolutely fine. Massive for Brentford.
Well, we didn't ask that.
Yeah. How many teams do you support?
I know, but massive. Yeah, but still huge for the likes of Brighton, Newcastle, Brentford. Massive for them now, because I think we could probably take Brentford and the teams above, and you start looking at Burnley, who are third bottom. I think the bottom two have gone. I think Norwich and Watford have gone. Now I think you're looking Everton, Burnley and Leeds. I think it's one of them three that will go. But that was a bad one for Sean Dyche's men. They could have done with taking a point from that game.
Leeds-Norwich is massive, isn't it, on Sunday. Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest news. Be sure to go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe to ESPN FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So in the end, it finishes Hoffenheim 1, Bayern Munich 1. Julian Nagelsmann spoke to Archie Rintat after the game.
Julian, what a game from a neutral perspective, but from your perspective, what's the overwhelming emotion after that?
I think the first 20 minutes were very good. Good control, good build-up game, a lot of chances. After that, Hoffman did a build-up game with 4 or 5 players, and we were not patient enough in these situations. We tried to get the lead as soon as possible. First 20 minutes was better control, better pressing. After that, we lose a little bit of control, but it was okay. It was not that powerful in this phase before the halftime. And then we adapted a little bit our pressing, not that much, but a little bit in halftime. And the second half, first 20, 25 minutes were very good. We have to decide the game, I think, in this kind of 20 minutes. After that, we conceded chances as well. We could concede a goal as well, because it was a very, very open game for both teams. Both want to win. At the end, I think we were a bit nearer to the 3 points, but sometimes it's like that. You lose some chances. You did not get the lead as soon as possible in the second half, and then it's like that. You only get 1 point.
So it's just 10 points at the top of the table. I say just 10 points. The reason I say it, well, Borussia Dortmund have 2 games in hand, the first of which, of course, against Bielefeld on Sunday. So what ramifications does those drop points that Bayern have on the title race, if any? Let's catch up, shall we, with Archie and Jan.
Thanks, Dan. Action-packed game we had here in Sinsheim. Hoffenheim and Bayern couldn't be separated come full-time, Jan. But boy, did both teams have their chances to do so?
There were so many chances. I mean, Bayern coming from a 7-1 against Salzburg. I mean, the big difference was that Salzburg were too naive. Hoffenheim gave everything today. There were so many chances that they kind of off the line. They threw themselves into it. And Baumann had a fantastic game, the goalkeeper of Hoffenheim. So they're still wondering why on earth didn't they score more goals. But we shouldn't forget that Bayern is coming here to a team that is fighting for a Champions League place. That is the measure they are put here now in Hoffenheim. Surprise? Yes. Realistic? Also yes.
What do you make of the way that Hoffenheim set up. You should have seen Jan in the stands watching them every time they try to play out from the back. Nearly got caught, did get caught on several occasions. Why does that rub you up the wrong way?
Well, I'm allergic to something. Sometimes we just define tactic to be something for a team. So if you lose the ball trying to play out from the back, it's the 81st minute against one of the best teams in the world. What do you do? Oh, let's play out again. And then they lost the ball again. And they're creating that. That was one thing. And that makes my head in. I mean, there were so many things that was interesting today tactically, because you had Koeman, Gnabry as well. They're standing up there that we will call cheating, because they don't want their Hoffenheim players to go up because they want to be the threat themselves. That created a lot of chances. But this play out wannabe Manchester City from the back, at 1-1, forget it.
You call it cheating. Julian Nagelsmann calls it his plan.
Yes.
He says it's to do with wanting to push the opposition back. Well, when an opposition is being so deep, he has to put players there to keep those numbers
but,
up.
Absolutely, but I still call it cheating. It's not a cheating in terms of the system. It's because Bayern do that. Bayern have two things they are doing very risky. They stand high. And they do that when they won the Champions League final. They do that. And also, when they have Gnabry, Coman and Sané, Müller and Lewandowski, you know that the opposition have to stand back with a lot of players. But what I liked about Hoffenheim, they didn't care. They were running forward. They let Gnabry cheat. But did you see in second half, we talked about it at halftime, Nagelsmann would tell Gnabry, well, I know this is our plan, but my friend, you have to run back. And Gnabry, the last minutes he was on the pitch, he couldn't move. So he was very tired. So yes, it was a plan, and that's why they are successful. But it's also a thing, it's a bit risky for them.
He was, as we would say in English, blowing out of a lower part of his body.
Which is not the back. Not the lower back.
Which is not your back.
No.
So what we would say is that the fact they couldn't bring Gnabry off, that shows that this Bayern bench does not have the same strength and depth as it's had in years gone by.
And the standard for Bayern Munich is not the Bundesliga. They won that 9 times in a row and they will win it again. Although we think it will be good money. We'll talk about it. It will be exciting as well. But if you saw this week, you see that especially in European weeks, you see Real Madrid, you see Liverpool, you see Chelsea, you see Manchester City, you see PSG. There are always players they can put on. If you have a look at the reserve bank of Bayern, who should they bring on? And no disrespect to Choupo-Moting, but this is not the guy who will win you the Champions League. And when you think of a Tuchel always thinking of who we can put on to do that something with his tactic, Julian Nagelsmann doesn't have that. So he has to have his 11 plus Goretzka plus Davis kind of player ready to play all the time. And that is a disadvantage for Bayern.
So today's result means that Borussia Dortmund can move a little bit closer to within 7 points. But they've got 2 games in hand, Jan. And a certain Norwegian striker, Erling Haaland, is back in the squad for the game against Bielefeld.
Now we go all the way. Dortmund is ready for the championship and they are going to play against Bayern Munich, and they had the worst stats ever against them. But now at least there is a chance, till we'll see the game tomorrow, Dortmund against Bielefeld. But there is a chance now, but game's in hand and it's better to have points. I know. Dortmund, this is your chance. Please, we are begging, can you do us a favour and make some excitement?
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
More developments today on Roman Abramovich and Chelsea. The Premier League released this statement: following the imposition of sanctions by the UK government, the Premier League board has disqualified Roman Abramovich as director of Chelsea Football Club. The board's decision does not impact on the club's ability to train and play its fixtures as set out under the terms of a licence issued by the government, which expires on the 31st of May 2022. Mark Ogden back with us. What does this mean?
Well, if this had happened a week ago, it would have been probably the biggest story of the season that the Premier League had you know, suspended or expelled, I guess, Roman Abramovich as the Chelsea director. But the fact that the government have taken action on Abramovich earlier this week by sanctioning him and freezing his assets means that this is just a sort of like a box-ticking exercise by the Premier League, just a formality that they had to go through. But it means nothing, really, in the sense that the government have already taken the big sanction of freezing his assets and freezing Chelsea's assets. So it doesn't really mean anything that we already know.
Chelsea in action against Newcastle, of course, on Sunday. Mark, I know it's a game that you're going to. What are we going to see in the stands with regards to fans? Because we know that only season ticket holders can go. Or is it people who've bought tickets already before these sanctions were introduced? They can go as well?
Yeah, I think this could be the last time we see Stamford Bridge full this season, because the vast, vast majority of tickets would have been sold before the sanctions were imposed on Thursday. So I think Stamford Bridge would be full. It'd be quite an unusual situation, though, because obviously the club shop will be closed, so there'll be no way for, there'll be no, you know, fans be able to buy shirts or anything like that. We don't quite know yet if Chelsea will be able to play with three, the logo on their shirts, because three have cancelled the sponsorship. But apparently Chelsea haven't been able to find a way to get some shirts without a logo on it, and they can't cover it up or, you know, put some fabric on it because the shirts be too heavy. So little logistical problems like that, and they can't even pay anybody to do it. So it's going to be a very strange atmosphere. They have been given permission by the UK government today to spend £900,000 on getting the game on in terms of policing, stewarding, catering. It was £500,000, but they've had that limit lifted. But in terms of the big one, that the £20,000 for away day travel, that stayed the same. So Chelsea are very keen to persuade the government that they need to be more relaxing the measures a little bit to help them run like a football club. But the reality is, the government is saying that, look, this isn't our problem, this is your problem. It's a problem caused by the owner that has been sanctioned and suspended. So it's not really in our interest to make it easy for you, because they've got many bigger issues at play, like what's happening in Ukraine. So I think Chelsea are going to be limping along now for the next 2 or 3 months, or until they get sold.
What are you most intrigued about going to this game, Mark?
I just think the atmosphere around the ground. I mean, there's quite a lot of graffiti around Stamford Bridge right now, protesting against the treatment of Chelsea, which is very kind of, obviously, very partisan. Fans are always going to back their club. But I'd be interested to see if the Chelsea fans once again seeing Roman Abramovich's name, despite being told not to by many people. Thomas Tuchel, the coach, has made it clear that he doesn't want this kind of thing happening. So I think the reaction of the Chelsea supporters will be interesting as to whether they accept what's happened is part of a bigger picture, or whether they will just be very much inward-looking and think that their club is being picked on, which it isn't. It's a reality of life that the political situation has led to their owner, who's owned the club for 19 years, and bankrolled them to such big success, is deemed no longer an appropriate person to own a football club. So I want to see what their reaction is and how they perceive it. Will there be protests against the government? Who knows?
Mark Ogden, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download the audio version, which is available daily in the form of a podcast. Be sure to check that out over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A couple of significant results in Italy on Saturday. Juventus with a 3-1 victory away against Sampdoria. Alvaro Morata with a brace in that game. Meanwhile, Kalulu's 19-minute strike was enough to see Milan take all 3 points. It puts them 5 clear of Inter then in second. Juventus closing the gap on Napoli to just 1 point now. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Don will be back, though, Stevie, for extra time. More percentage questions for sure, plus his power rankings of former clubs. Stay tuned. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much, as always, for your questions. Stevie Nicol with us here in the studio. Don Hutchinson joins us as well from his garage. We'll kick things off with you, Don. With 3 forwards securing hat-tricks this week. Start one, bench one, drop one. Benzema, Lewandowski and Ronaldo.
Oh, my days. Drop Ronaldo.
Say again?
Drop Ronaldo. Bench Lewandowski and play Benzema.
Oh, wow. It's tough, isn't it, Stevie?
I think.
Do you concur?
I think I do. It seemed a little harsh, benching Lewandowski and dropping Ronaldo, but... Right now, the reality is, yeah, that's what you do.
It is a reality, Stevie.
It is, huh?
Yeah. For Stevie, would a fit Sergio Ramos have shored up the PSG defence?
Well, maybe for an hour, but then he would have got sent off. that would have messed it all up.
Wow. Right. Madrid want to watch getting rid of him.
Yeah, I mean...
But we knew, we discussed it when he made that move. He played like 2 league games that season.
You have to wonder... Some of these people in such high positions in the likes of PSG who would go and sign a player like Ramos who hadn't kicked a ball for pretty much 12 months and then you go and... Why would you do that?
It's crazy. And what do they do with these medicals?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't have one.
Nice tattoos,
haven't you? Yeah. Well, yeah, his knee's a bit dodgy. We don't want it. It'll be all right.
It'll be fine. Don't worry.
It makes no sense.
When Mbappe joins Real Madrid and if Haaland were to go to City, who would be the better... future duo, Vinicius Jr. and Mbappe, or Haaland and Foden, Don?
Haaland and Foden, or Vinicius Jr. and Mbappe?
Yep.
I would probably say Vinicius Jr. and Mbappe.
Really? Why?
I think I would, mate, yeah.
No, we're not going the other way.
Anti-English, Don. Why?
Well, Mbappe is going to be the best in the world. He's going to win the Ballon d'Or for the next 10 years, and the kid is just electric. Wow. And Vinicius Jr., listen, there's not much in it. It's one of them where you toss a coin, who do you like? I'm going to go with him. I think Vinicius Jr. is going to get better and better and better, and Mbappe will be the best player in the world for the next, I don't know, 5 to 8, 10 years.
Wow, Don, you say that so confidently as well, giving no respect to Haaland.
Well... Haaland's amazing, don't get me wrong, and so is Phil Foden. But I'm just leaning towards them for those specific reasons.
I'm going to go the other way.
Right.
And the reason I'm going to do that is because I think what's going to be backing Haaland and Foden up for the next 10 years is going to be more reliable than what Vinny and Mbappe might have.
Right.
You know, as good as Modric is right now...
It's going to be a big overhaul in that midfield.
You've got Casemiro, Toni Kroos... I mean, so yeah.
Camavinga, Valverde.
But they're unproven, Don. They're unproven.
Oh, come on. Camavinga was one of the best players on the pitch the other day. He changed the game.
So he's had a cameo for 20 minutes?
No, he's a player, Steve. And Valverde
are players.
Saying
he's not a player. I'm just saying that what's behind Haaland and Foden is better, which will make them better.
Don. How in the world is Arsenal said to be the favourites to finish in the top 4? They haven't played Chelsea, Liverpool or Manchester United.
Well, they'll beat Leicester tomorrow, so they'll go back into the top four and they'll still have three games in hand. Simple maths, that, Dan.
Wow, all right.
I can't believe we're all so stupid.
Yeah, but what if they lose those? What if they lose Liverpool midweek and then lose to Chelsea and lose to United? Then they're in trouble.
Well, they'll beat Leicester, so they'll be fourth.
Yes, but then if United beat them later on in the season...
Oh, come on. Dan, are we honestly saying Man United are going to win every game from now to the end of the season? That performance today from Man United, Ronaldo was amazing, don't get me wrong. Sancho, brilliant. Fred, brilliant. That game at 2-2 could have went either way, and we could have been talking about Man United now, losing the game 3-2. It's one of them where the Man United fans, I heard the analysis on the TV today, and the analysis from the lads in the studio said, after the game, all the Man United fans are leaving Old Trafford, euphoric, thinking, oh, what a night, we're back, Ronaldo's back, he scored three. If they had a lost 3-2, they went home Man United fans thinking, sack the manager, we need 15 more changes, we're no good, the season's a disaster.
That's football, isn't it? That's every team.
That is football. That is football. Yeah. That's why I'm leaning towards Arsenal.
Well, thanks for bringing that analysis that the TV brought. All right, for Don, what percentage chance would you give your mate Frank Lampard to keep Everton in the Premier League? If you could give him a player to save the season, who would you pick?
De Bruyne would be the player.
Not Mbappe.
Oh, anyone in the world? Thought you meant Premier League. I don't even think Mbappe could do it for Everton at the minute. I don't. It would be De Bruyne.
Right.
He's played in the Premier League for a while. He knows the Premier League. He's super fit, great attitude. I think I would give Frank 40%, Dan. And that means I would give Burnley 30 and Leeds 30.
Sorry, Don. You would have De Bruyne over Mbappe at the moment because Mbappe's never played in the Premier League.
For Everton, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, just because... Yeah. Are you on... Could you see Mbappe going to Everton and absolutely ripping it up in that team?
But he's the hope that you need, the target man, the one that's going to get you the goals, that's going to keep you up.
Give me De Bruyne. Give me De Bruyne at this present time in the Premier League over Mbappe or Everton.
That's not a go with Van Dijk.
Well, yes, that's a sensible move, I suppose.
Well, it is, isn't it? Because if you don't lose goals, you've got a chance of winning games.
Right.
If you can get Calvert-Lewin-Smith
fit... I know, Kane's looking good.
And you've got Richarlison...
Who's Calvert-Lewin-Smith?
Who's Calvert-Lewin-Smith?
Calvert-Lewin-Smith. Sorry, that's my accountant's name.
he could probably do a job.
He's your favourite accountant.
Yeah, so you've got Calvert-Lewin, you've got Richarlison.
Yep.
Gordon.
De Bruyne,
I mean, that front
De Bruyne
three.
Feeding.
That front
De Bruyne three is coming in.
That front three can get some goals between now and the end of the season.
Right.
And if you get somebody to stop them going on the other end, that's why you would sign Van Dijk, because he would help everybody.
Where do you sign on, De Bruyne or Mbappe?
Mbappe. Yeah.
Is the correct answer.
Yes.
Seeing as Don Hutchinson had so many different clubs with so many different experiences, can we mess with his head? Not difficult. And see what percentage of love he has for each of his previous clubs. He speaks with such love about my team Everton, but which clubs does he love the most? That's a good question, Don.
It's too good. The question is too good because I can't get 11 teams into a percentage.
Okay, which team is the biggest percentage, Don? Let's start there.
I can't do this, Dan, because I've played for Liverpool and played for Everton and I captained Everton.
Okay, so Everton's number one.
Everton and Liverpool are number one.
Everton and Liverpool. So that's, right, okay.
Joint.
And then West Ham.
Yep, then
said you on the show, you were a Newcastle fan.
Yeah, but he never played for Newcastle, did he?
Otherwise, I'd just say 100% Newcastle, because I stood on the Gallagher end all my life.
Well, not all your life. You were playing for a bit.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Now you live in Essex.
As a kid, when you're a kid from the age of six to like 16
years old, he left Newcastle when he was 15. But he's been there
when
all
you're
his
a
life.
Kid from the age of 6 to 16, that's your whole life.
Okay, so your power rankings are Everton, Liverpool, West Ham. What's next?
Sunderland. Sheffield United.
Yes.
Who else have I had?
Millwall.
Coventry. Who?
Millwall.
No, they're zero. They're the only ones that would be zero.
Whoa.
Worst move I ever made in my life. Coventry would get a percentage. Wow. Luton would get a good percentage.
What happened to Millwall done?
Oh, mate. You don't go from West Ham to go to Millwall. I did. And I lasted 6 months. And I got hammered every single day from the fans. I got hammered every match day at home from the fans. Even when I was scoring winning goals. Get back to West Ham. You're not welcome here. Go on, do one. I had to phone me, mate. I had to phone Adrian Heath, Stevie, who was at Cov at the time. And I went, Inchy, get me out of here, mate. It's an absolute nightmare. And he took me up to Coventry.
Good lad, Heath. Inchy.
Good.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for answering the questions so sincerely and honestly, Don. Always appreciated. We will be back tomorrow for more Chelsea in action against Newcastle. Who are Arsenal playing?
Leicester.
Leicester. Oh, yeah. Don said they're going to win.
Yep.